Well, it's another great day at CFO.University and Supercharge Finance. Again, I've got Andy Burrows, the CEO and founder of Supercharge Finance here, and really have some fun times with discussing all things finance. And today we're going to talk about, again, the future of finance, and we'll talk about the controller CFO role and finance, not just a cost center. So welcome again, Andy. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Steve. It's always good to chat with you about these things.
Well, we had to, you know, you
had early in the morning to do it as well.
It's early in the morning and late in the afternoon there. So let's jump right in. You had posted something recently on finance as a cost center and how that's kind of a dead end as a career for a finance professional. So I just wanted to explore that further with you and, you know, how we break out of that finance as a cost center and give people the impression of what we really are, which is a value creation center.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thrust of it came about through a question I got. I was doing a careers event and someone said to me, the problem I've got in my career is that people just see finance as a cost center. They don't believe, the managers in the business don't believe that finance can create value. How do I persuade them that we can create value? And I can't remember what answer I gave on the spot, but then I went away and thought about it and produced that article. And I started off by thinking, well, actually, do you know what? We probably have only ourselves to blame sometimes because we talk about costs so much. We literally talk about costs all the time as finance people and CFOs. So it's sort of obvious that if we're talking about costs in the business, why shouldn't the business talk about finance as if it's a cost? That is really sad because once you're seen as just a cost, then there's only one thing to do with costs that contributes to the bottom line, and that's to cut them. So by talking about costs too much, you end up educating the business to think about how to cut finance. And not to see us as value creating. So the first thing is actually to start talking about expenditure as not as expenditure, but as return on investment. So what is this expenditure getting us in terms of value? And if we can start making that our conversation, whether it's talking about marketing or operations or product development costs or R&D or whatever, if we can start talking about the value of those things, then it shows that's what we're interested in. And then when we talk about finance, we can say, well, this is the value we bring to the business.
That's brilliant. Yeah, well, that's brilliant. A couple of things that you talked about there. One is taking responsibility, right? Responsibility because we're the ones creating this mess. The idea that what we talk about is how people perceive us. So if we talk about cost and making sure that we focus on value creation, really good points. You know, you talk about the difficulty from, you know, the intangible part. And so maybe that's why costs become really easy to look at. So talk to me, can you talk a little bit about, you know, the intangible part of our role?
And I think I tried to explain in the article is we've got to get our heads around what we call intangible value and indirect value. So we're talking about intangible is where you basically don't know where the value is coming from. It's intangible. I give the example of advertising. If it's sales advertising, direct selling, then you expect sales to occur because of that advertising. That's easy. If that doesn't produce any sales, then that's a waste of money. And you can see the value in it. But if it's kind of brand awareness and stuff, that's definitely needed because you don't get the sales at the end if people aren't brought through the journey of knowing the brand, trusting it, and so on, knowing about the product to the point where you can then sell to them. So spending on that is necessary, but you don't know how many sales you can attribute to it. So it's kind of intangible. But then there's also indirect. And where I use the word indirect, I mean that you can't create value with that alone. So it's like a salesman agreeing a sale. It's not just the cost of the salesman that, you know, that is the ROI. You know, it's not just the sale related to the cost of the salesman, because unless finance raises an invoice and collects the cash, the business isn't going to make the money. So each step, if you take them on their own, is kind of a indirect value creation. So we've got to be able to say, kind of look at what we do and our costs and say, well, this is intangible value creation. And some of that may be forecasting, planning, analytics. It's kind of intangible. You know, it adds value because it makes better decisions, but what would have that decision been without the analytics? It's like, you don't know. So you have to kind of say, well, I accept that there's some intangible element there. I'm sure we made it better. That created value, that's intangible. But then there's also indirect value where our invoice processing, our cash collection, that's indirect value because, you know, the business isn't going to make money if we don't collect the cash. It's going to lose money if we keep doing the, you know, the tax returns wrong. So there are a lot of different ways of creating value, and thinking about it in those terms helps.
Well, very interesting distinction between indirect and intangible, and that was excellent. In fact, and I'm going through an example right now with a client where we started out saying, how do we value we're bringing on a new salesperson. Okay, they're paid commission. We know how much sales they generate. Should be an easy ROI calculation, you know, to bring them on and give them, you know, their metrics and stuff. And we found out that there is this indirect and these intangible pieces that are difficult to, so as the model keeps expanding, it wasn't quite as simple as just looking at, well, what do we pay them versus the sales they generate and the margin on the sales. It's become more complicated. But your point about, you know, thinking about business, not just finance when it comes to this in the article, I think is really, is really appropriate.
And I think that's the punchline I always come to. It's like, if you want, the business to see you as more than just a cost center, then talk about the business. Don't just talk about the numbers. Don't just talk about the accounts and the codes and the general ledger. Talk about the business. Yeah. And ask about the business, because if you ask about the business, you show interest in what other people are doing, then they'll show interest in you, and then you collaborate. And that just sort of builds the bridges. But I know you've got... you were talking to Dave Bookbinder the other, you know, a couple of months ago on the Behind the Numbers show. One of the things you talked about was how to bring controllers through to being CFOs, weren't you? And that sort of, that talking about the business bit and learning to not just focus on the numbers, that came into that discussion, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really similar, you know, in many ways to what you were talking about. We have to kind of grow out of that cost side of things. And a controller, you know, who's come up through the accounting ranks, typically they're maybe chartered accountants, they're CPAs, they have a really sound background in IFRS or GAAP, all these prescribed rules. They have this 500-year-old history of accounting, and we're looked at as the historians because we prepare the financial statements, and the financial statements are backward looking. All really important roles, but if we don't expand those, you know, and maybe look at it the same way as the cost center versus the business and looking at the whole business, you can really limit your progress. To become a CFO, you need to fill in some of what we call the other pillars. So controllers are really strong in the accounting pillar, but can frequently be weaker in the areas of FP&A, finance, our finance pillar, treasury, our cash management and fundraising pillar. They don't have any experience in that. And then the leadership piece becomes really important. So our controllers, you know, with that fixed historian mindset, which is so important. It's so important that we have good controls in place and we close quickly, we get that. But that's a stepping stone to all those things that you were talking about having a business rather than just a finance mindset. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I've seen really good controllers and CPAs and chartered accountants who make that transition fairly easily. And what I've seen them do, what seems to make the difference is when they click that the numbers mean something. This is actually telling you something about the business. And it's when you start thinking about the business and what those... You see, I used to ask, when I first started in the business I went to, Barclays, we used to do a commentary on the management accounts report every month. And I, the first month I went in there and it said, so-and-so is over budget by so-and-so and that's so-and-so percent. And I just went, yeah, I can see that. Why? And it's like when you ask the why question, it's like, what does that line item, that distribution cost, the staff cost, what does that mean that the business is doing? And you start to make it real, and as you ask those questions, it's like, oh yeah, we're talking about a business here. Those numbers actually mean something. And it's that that clicks that makes the difference, I think.
Interesting. That's really good. And so being able to ask the right question is also a differentiator, right? Between kind of the leadership roles and other roles, being able to ask the right question is really, really important. So good. Well, you know, it's wonderful, this collaboration with Supercharge Finance and you. I really enjoy it. And I appreciate you so much and what you're teaching me.
Thank you very much. And I'm sure I'm not breaking any secrets here by saying there's more to come, which everyone will find out about later in the year.
Yep, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for all the things we have on the plate. And it's been great to have you again on the show and as a co-host to CFO Talk, Andy. And we'll be revealing more about our collaboration in the near future.
Yeah, sure. And can I just add one last thing, which is if anyone can get to watch that Behind the Numbers show episode that you've got on your site, I watched it earlier. I thought it was fantastic. Well worth the 26 minutes. And if you speed it up to 1.5 times and cut out the commercials, you can probably do it in 15. So it's really good. I'd recommend it to anyone to watch that. So,
well, thank you for that unpaid promotion, Andy. I appreciate it.
No, I genuinely think that. So, I hope that's...
Thank you. See you next time.
Yeah. See ya. Bye.